prayer request for good health. Is this on?
It is.
Wow. All right. I don't know. I ate something a little funny this morning. Kind of a weird reaction to it. But nevertheless, God is good. And we're looking at Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, named Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. with his wife's full knowledge, is it warm in here?
No, not really.
What? No? Okay. All right. With his wife's full knowledge, could you read this for me? Would you mind reading this out loud? I appreciate it. Because you're nice and loud, okay? Because I got this little thing going on here. I don't know what it is. Nice and loud, okay? Just real loud. You want to stand up here? Okay, here, let me hook you up. Here, just a minute. Could you just read? Oh, I'm sorry. Just go ahead and read that for us.
What chapter?
Chapter 5. I thought you were paying attention. I don't feel good here, and you're messing with me. Start right there, okay? That'd be great.
Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan so filled your heart that you have lied? To the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your...
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to
interrupt. Okay. What made you think of doing such a thing?
Is it cold in there? Oh, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
You have not lied just to human beings, but to... I'm perfectly fine this morning. There's no problem, all right? However, on the day that Ananias and Sapphira went to church, they had something in their heart that was not quite right, and they dropped over dead. And that's the portion of Scripture we're looking at, okay? So I really, intended for you to have this message kind of stick in your...
You're actually dying.
Who did? Sarah? Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I actually could die much better, but I was having a hard time keeping a straight face. I died in my classroom one time. It was hilarious. It was so funny. Kids were running all over. Anyhow, I'm perfectly fine. But I want you to realize today, and thanks for the chair, is that when God moves, some people die. This is scary stuff. This is really scary stuff. And when God moves, some people find new life. All right? Yummy. This is the whole yummy factor right here, okay? It is really about finding that new life. Now, in this portion of the chapter, we all know the story, okay? Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property. God was moving in a certain way at that time and in that place. So there were poor people, and there were Christians who were walking out their faith, okay? They were walking out their faith,
by selling everything that they had, and they were putting it in one big pot, and it was being distributed. Some Christians have tried to take that and make it happen. There's literally been Christian communes where people have lived that way, okay? There's no evidence in Scripture that that was maintained, especially as we look at 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes and says to the churches of Asia, the saints of Jerusalem are really having a hard time. Could you give? So they start giving. So that's just a little bit of the background of the culture at that time, okay? And in this portion of Scripture, now she was helping me out here reading it, we get to a place where it says this, very, very simply, all right? It says that they were filled, or Satan had filled his heart. Before we get there, I want to look at several examples of when God moves, people die. This is to move us to a place of fear and reverence for God. It sounds scary. And as I was preparing this, I thought, do I go to tell these sweet Asian children that when God moves, people die? It just sounds crazy. So I thought, you know what? I better look in the Word of God. I better go from the beginning of the book all the way to the end and make sure that I'm telling you the right thing. So I found in Mount Sinai, right there at Mount Sinai, God is going to give the law. The mountain is spewing out smoke. There's fire. There's glory there. Moses, the man of God, gets to that mountain place where God is moving, and he's having a good time with God. And the people below are looking, and they are totally freaked out. They saw the mountain quaking, and they said this. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, they said to Moses, "Speak thou with us. You talk to us, and we will listen. But let not God speak with us, because we will die." So now who wants to talk to God? This is what they said. If he talks to us, we are going to die. And you know what? They were right. But in a good way. We'll get to that a little later. Then I look a little further in history. We're in the desert, and there's Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Korah had some kind of authority issue going on. And he said, "Moses, you think you're the only one who hears from God? I'm getting it on too. I know what's up. It's not just all about you, because we can all hear from God as well." All right? And so Moses says, "Well, I'll tell you what. Just get your incense burner, your censer, you know, fill it up, whichever one, you know, blah, blah, blah." This whole authority structure thing came into play. And it worked out that, of course, Moses was proven to be the one in authority. And so God busts out at that time, and he opened up the earth. Moses says, "Look, if Korah and all his people die a normal death, then I'm not your man." He says, "But if they die in a strange, unusual way, then I guess, you know, God has made it evident as to who's in charge around here." So as it happened, the earth, it says, opened up, they fell in, and then the earth closed up again. It's like, you know, go to hell, do not pass go, or collect $200. All right? It just opened up, boom, they're gone. Closes back up. And this guy had 250 buddies who were on his side. And the scripture says that God sent fire from heaven in, where is this? Numbers chapter 16, verse 35. "And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense who were not supposed to." When God moves, some people die. All right? It's the way it happens throughout Scripture. I thought, okay, that's past tense. That's old stuff. These kids today, they want to know what's coming in the future. So as we begin to look into the future, do we see the same truth there? Okay? Very interesting question. So I flip to Revelation, and I find in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16, this is what is coming, okay? It says, "And they said to the mountains," these are the people who did not know God intimately, "said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come." And then this question, "And who shall be able to stand?" Who can stand? understand when God moves. And I've got to tell you that there are people who can stand when God moves. Because when God moves, some people find new life. All right? So you always have this group of people from cover to cover. Just like I showed you the scary stuff, I want to show you the yummy stuff. Okay? There are people throughout Scripture when God moves, they are on the right page. They are where they belong in their hearts and in their relationship with the Almighty. And this question, who shall be able to stand? We want to look at Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. Figure out why they didn't stand, why others in that day were standing and they were on fire for God and they weren't. And then we want to figure out, how about you? How about you? When God moves again, are you going to be, you know, on the right page? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be the one who finds new life? And, you know, this question, who shall be able to stand? It's answered in Psalm 15, and it's answered in Psalm 24. Psalm 15, it says, Lord, who shall ascend thy hill? Who shall abide in thy holy presence? And then he gives a list. He who walks uprightly. He who speaks the truth in his heart. The guy who doesn't put his money out, you know, to just gain money back. All right? The one who makes the right kinds of friendships. Gives a whole practical list. And we find something very similar in Psalm 24. And there are other portions of Scripture in Isaiah that give us a list. Who can stand? Ananias and Sapphira didn't. Just like I pretend to fall dead here this morning. They dropped dead. They dropped dead in the presence of God. And we certainly don't want that happening to us. Now, in this portion of Scripture that we read earlier, or started to read before I died, it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? Now, he could have kept back part of the money. It was no big deal. It was his. Peter says that a little bit later on. But they sold this big piece of property or piece of property, and they acted like they were giving it all to the church. Okay? They were Christians. They were believers. And they were acting like they thought everybody in church should act. They should say please and thank you and appear to be giving all. Okay? They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. They were in the church and they were not real. Now, can Satan fill your heart? Satan filled their hearts. That was a day when God was moving incredibly. The great miracles of Jesus had just happened. Peter was on the move. He was anointed. He was restored so that even the shadow of disciples would fall on somebody. They would get healed. Okay? It was a great day of God. And at that same time, there were some Christians who were not being real and transparent before God. Okay? I have a little bottle here today. And I think it's so good. And the Lord's been stirring my heart. Look at this bottle. Okay? Totally transparent. You can see everything that's there. All right? And just this morning, before you guys came in, you were in there in the sanctuary having communion. And I was just ministering to the Lord a little bit on the piano. And I was thinking about David. David was so transparent before God, you know. He just let it all be out there. So much so that he, when he danced, you know, his nakedness was seen. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing to even think about, okay. But the man was uninhibited before God. He was transparent, just like this glass bottle, you know. And Ananias and Sapphira were not. They were hiding something, and they agreed together about that. Can Satan fill a Christian's heart? Let's take a look at Judas for a minute. Judas was sent out two by two in Mark 6 and verse 7. And they did great miracles. And they came back and they were rejoicing. The devils are subject to us. We've got the power. They were really happy. Okay? And then later, the scripture tells us in Luke 22 and 3, then Satan entered into Judas. Okay? Let's take a look at Peter. Peter was this great guy who had the answers all the time. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 15, all the way through 23, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter jumps up and he says, "You are the Christ. You're the Christ." And Jesus inside, I'm sure, is rejoicing. He says, "My boy's getting it." You know, one out of the 12 had the answer. Praise God for Peter. So Jesus is moving forward in his dialogue and he says, "All right, you got it, guys? I am the Christ. Now let me let you in on what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. And there I'm going to be mocked. They're going to pick on me. They're going to accuse me. Hate to tell you, but I got to die. When God moves, people die. Jesus, I'm one of those people," Jesus says. "I got to die." Peter jumps up and he starts rebuking Jesus Christ. Peter starts rebuking the Lord. I mean, he gets right in Jesus' face and says, "No, Lord." Let's see what he says. Where is it? I think I got it here somewhere. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.'" All right? And then Jesus has to say to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What an incredible thing. Can Christians have the Lord and have something else in them as well from the powers of darkness? And I was thinking about King Saul. King Saul, amazing verse. You know, he was out looking for his father's donkeys, okay? And Samuel comes upon him. Samuel looks at him and anoints him to be king. Samuel says to him, "Saul, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and turn you into another man." Wow. Romans 12:1. You know, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're new creatures in Christ. That happened to King Saul. And he prophesied, and the people were like, "Whoa, is Saul among the prophets? Look at this guy. We know him. He's out looking for donkeys, and all of a sudden he's the man of God." And then later on in Scripture, we see that another spirit was sent to him. Not the Holy Spirit, but another spirit. So much so he wanted to kill David. You know, what is with this? All right? It happens throughout Scripture. It happens throughout Scripture. It's amazing. So we have to look at our own lives, and we have to think about that. You know, am I always functioning under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Or is it just a normal, natural thing in life to be partly God or godly and at the same time have this other fallen nature that's in operation? What do you think the answer to that is? Are we both divine and disgusting? What's the answer to that? You guys only see me on Sunday morning. I try to put on the best front I can for you without being a hypocrite. I try to give you my God stuff. Okay? How about you? You come to church, Ananias and Sapphira went to church, and try to be good, which is not as good as perfect. Jesus said, "Be perfect." So we try. But isn't there another nature warring within us against this godliness that we're supposed to have? Is that true? Say yes or say no when I count to three. One, two, three. Yeah. Yes, it is. All right? So we have both of these in operation. I think it's kind of interesting. I was like having a whiteboard available because I get these pictures. And I think I've shared this here before. But it just helps for us to see this picture. You have God. I always represent him as light, okay? And then we have planet Earth. There's you. Oops, don't want to leave out the boys. Okay? And then down here we have, of course, this is the bad guy, okay? The devil, hell. And we have three wills in operation. We have God's will, okay? We have human, and then we have the devil. All right? And so we are a channel for either God to pour in or for this guy to influence. And so to whichever one we yield is the one that we are a servant to, because we are servants always, either to righteousness or to unrighteousness. And so we see throughout Scripture that there are these influences upon the human spirit. And so my question is this: how can Satan fill a Christian's heart? How can that happen? And so as we look back at Acts chapter 5, we're going to find that they did something. They lied to the Holy Spirit. What does that... anybody here ever tell a lie to anybody? Raise your hand. Oh, we have truthful people this morning. All right. Shame the devil. Tell the truth. This is good. All right. Yeah, we have lied. But, you know, if I want to lie to you, you know, I mean, I could just lie to you. But how do you lie to the Holy Spirit? How does that happen? So I began to wrestle with this and try to find what it means to lie to the Holy Spirit. Here it is. It is when we make life choices while on earth that are not governed by the Holy Spirit. Life choices either come from our human will or from a demonic source. Making life choices according to your personal standard of right and wrong. And we live in a world today where right and wrong is not black and white. It's any color you want it to be. As long as you are, you know, like not hurting anybody else, you do whatever you want. That's wrong. We're free to do whatever God wants. That's our freedom, and that's what's right. So lying to the Holy Spirit is wrestling, arguing in your own head about doing something that you know isn't 100% right. Okay? For example, I stop at Tim Hortons in the morning. The new Tim Hortons is very nice on 23 Mile Road near I-94. And as I drive through, I probably will have yesterday's old Tim Hortons cup in my cup holder. Okay? So I can take that one out, I push my window down, and I put it outside, and I drop it in their wonderful little garbage can. It's so convenient. You know, I pull through, it's like, oh, my garbage, hi, garbage can, you're friendly. And I feed the garbage can. It's wonderful. Okay? Now, as delightful as that experience is and fills me with joy that they finally got it together and figured it out, when I travel down 23 Mile Road, there is also a Tim Hortons. Do they have a garbage can? No. Are they nice? No. Even the people that work there are not as nice as my friends on 26 Mile Road with a happy garbage can. So I pull through the 23 Mile Road one, and I think they should have a garbage can. How can I give them this message? I know. I could be like everybody else and just throw yesterday's old cup. It's a Tim Hortons cup. Okay, it's like it came from them. It was originally their cup before I bought it. And I need a garbage can really bad. And they don't have one. How could I tell them? I could call them. I don't know their number. I'll just throw my cup out in the parking lot. And as the cups begin to pile up, they will get the idea. Oh, we should put a garbage can up like all the nice Tim Hortons. And then I would be doing them a favor. They should give me free coffee. Okay? So I wrestle in my mind. Should I throw this out? Of course you shouldn't throw it out. You'd be littering. You don't have any bumper stickers on your car that says, I love Jesus. Nobody will know. Okay? Have you ever wrestled? Have you ever thought with lots of words and natural rationalizations about doing something that is not right? I think we have. It's part of our human nature. And I think that's what Ananias and Sapphira did that day. They said, well, you know what? It's ours. We can do whatever we want with it. Well, that was true. Peter even said that. So they thought, well, we'll make ourselves look really good. Nobody will know. Who cares? Okay? But the Holy Spirit knew. Now, could they get away with that at another time? Probably. They could have probably gotten away with it. But at that time, they couldn't, okay? They could not, because God was moving. Some people die
And some people found new life. After every one of those situations that I talked about in Scripture where people die when God moves, there were a whole pile of people that God really met with. And right after this portion in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12, we find that the church grew. People became afraid to attach themselves, and some people ran to the Lord. All right? Very, very cool. So there we have it. To lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to the Spirit of God in our conscience. We try to rationalize. All right? To lie to the Holy Spirit is talking oneself out of what is 100% right. And the reason we do that is just to satisfy our own lusts. Ananias and Sapphira are not the only ones. Achan in the Old Testament, they're plundering the city at Ai. And he takes a look, and there he sees some gold and some clothes. You know, I mean, how many of you like to have really cool clothes? Do you like cool clothes? Raise your hand. Okay. Do you like ugly clothes? Raise your hand. The rest of you, I want to see those hands up. Okay, we like to look nice. And wouldn't you love it if they were free? Cool clothes that are free. Name any designer you want, and they're free. All you have to do is snatch them up. How about money? Anybody here like money? I didn't say love, because we all know about that. Okay, but you like money because it does some good stuff for you? Raise your hand. Yeah, look at all those money-hungry people. Okay, yeah. So we like money, and there's this huge bar of gold just laying there. You just demolish the city, and you could just, like, put that in your pocket, okay? Well, that's what Achan did. You know, that's exactly what he did. He lied within himself. He had to come up with some kind of plan. King Herod, great speaker, great orator. One day he's speaking eloquently, and all the people are looking at him. They're just amazed. And they said, "This is the voice of a god." And he accepted that praise. He fell down dead and was eaten up of worms in Acts chapter 12. Okay? So there's some very, very interesting examples we have here throughout Scripture of how God moves at times. Now, the point is this. What are you and I going to do? What do we do with this message today? You know? God is not moving in the realms of the miraculous. So I'll tell you what. You could skate by. You could. You could keep arguing within yourself, justifying. I could throw my cup out at Tim Hortons. I mean, the Tim Hortons police aren't going to come and arrest me. Throw me in jail. You know. Could cheat in school on tests. Take shortcuts with homework. I mean, really. Who is ever going to know? Who's going to know? You're going to know, and God is going to know. And every time we do something like that, every time we violate, you know, the instruction, the life that comes from heaven, every time we lie to the Holy Spirit with our natural rationalizations, we become weaker and weaker and weaker. We become less righteous. And the righteous are as bold as a lion. Tell you what, everybody here wants to be cool. You just do. It's just part of how God made you. And the one cool that supersedes all other cools is righteousness and holiness. You know, it's doing what is right. And then you begin to be cool according to the design that God has made for you. All these other people that failed today, they were trying to be cool by some other standard. So they had to argue with God about that. So I'd just like to look, you know, at a simple question. What is it that influences you and me more? Is it God that influences me in my choices, my arguing? Or is it peer pressure? Or is it, you know, this world standard? Or is it, you know, something that comes just inherently from my flesh? What is going to drive me? That's really the question. Romans chapter 8, in conclusion here, 8, chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation, no Ananias and Sapphira, no Herod, no Achan, none of this kind of stuff, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We don't give in to those things, but after the Spirit. And so what? Everybody here already knew that. Big deal. But let's look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay? And those laws are those little words that come to us in daily life. For what the law could not do, even though you know right from wrong, but that cannot empower you. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak because it depended on the flesh and the will of the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's a lot of Bibleese. But what it means is that if Jesus did it as a man, as a son of man, as He tapped into God, so can you. That belongs to us. That kind of victory in little people like us is going to change this world. It is. Because I'm not departing from the original goal, that is to see Christ take over this world. That's His plan, and He wants to involve us. And it happens in the smallest ways. It's so cool. Such a big idea, but such little steps. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They wrestle in their mind with the things of the flesh. All right? They wrestle with God. They lie to the Holy Spirit. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And so that's what happens. That's exactly what happens. Now, life is like this jar. You are like this jar, okay? How many of you like Gobstoppers, anyhow? You like Gobstoppers? I do, too. They're great, aren't they? I better test to make sure they're good. Anyhow. Yeah. Oh, here's a red one. I bet you want one too, huh? Well, here's the deal. All right? I've got Gobstoppers, and you don't, but I can give them to you. All right? Now, if I put this out, this is you, okay? And the way that you can be really right with God, all right, is to be like David. Be transparent, okay? Now, if I were to say to you that only the red ones and the yellow ones are the good ones, okay? But I can't reach in here and pick them all out, can I? No. So what I need to do with my life, with your life, what you need to do, is to be poured out. Oh yeah. There they are, guys. All right? The good ones and the evil ones. All right? They're all out there. And this is what we need to do in our experience with God. Let Him see through and then willingly be poured out. Okay? Now, only the red ones and the yellow ones are good. All right? And then let Him come into your life and pick out the orange ones and the evil purple ones and remove them, okay? That is what we need to do in our personal walk with the Lord. Now, do any of you have some of these fantastic yellow ones in your life? Things that God has given you? Say yes. Good. Do some of you have some of those fantastic red ones that God has given to you in your life? Yes. Do any of you have, and I won't ask the obvious next questions, okay? Because we already admitted. We have some of those other things. So what I want you to do today is be challenged by the Lord to pour yourself out. Be exposed before Him so that when God moves, some people find new life. That belongs to you. Amen? That new life belongs to you. And the life that you live in Christ, in your relationship with Him, will empower you. And the way to overcome death, seriously,
Jesus has overcome all the power of death. And he means for us to overcome that power of death, the orange ones and the purple ones in our lives by being exposed and dying daily. Just let him pick those things out. Okay? There's two ways to grow in God, to be sharp. You know? My personal experience is this, to continue in the Word. Read. And read books about the Word. Great books that appeal to me. The other way is this right here. Be exposed. Let that sweet conviction come in my life so I'm not arguing with God and trying to figure out how in the world can I throw out my Tim Horton cup in the parking lot. It's just bad. Okay? It's just bad. All right? So let's pray together this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we so thank you that you prepare us with your living word for that which is to come upon the earth. We know that there are seasons of great moves of God when nobody can get away with anything. They violate their conscience, they drop dead throughout your word. And at the same time, there are those who see that and they're filled with an awesome, reverential, holy fear. And they line themselves up. It becomes crystal clear. You can see through us, just like we can see through this bottle. And your word is crystal clear. And that which is good is evident. And that which is not good is also evident. So I pray that we will be a people that, as you said to us, be ready at all times. Not to get ready at the last minute like the five foolish virgins. They left out of the party. But to be ready. To live in a readiness, to be quick to be exposed before you, and quick to relinquish those things, acknowledge those things that are not right about us. May none here argue with you. However, when we do, which is inevitable, your spirit will come with sweet conviction and sweet empowerment to face the spiritual death in a daily way, so that we can likewise walk in the abundance of your life. We thank you and praise you. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, guys, I'm going to set this by the back door there, and you just help yourself.